Before we start talking about critical beliefs that are important for life transition, let me just tell you a little bit about myself as we begin. I know if I'm sitting where you are and somebody starts talking, I want to know a little bit, like, who is that guy? And so I am a pastor. I mentioned I'm a pastor at Jubilee Christian Center. I happen to be the marriage and family pastor, so I really like meeting with couples. That's what I do. About 95% of my time is with them. I have teams, of course, volunteers. We do premarital classes, marriage enrichment courses. We have mentoring. We have all life groups. We have all kinds of things. But what I do during the week is I meet with people. I do coaching. And it's really fun. I just really enjoy it. But that's a result of a big life transition for me. And so we're talking about transition. I've lived this. I would say I was on a 7-year transition. My wife would say 10, but anyway. So transitioning from I was a music pastor to now being this marriage life coaching pastor we've come through a transition to bring us to that point. But I love that. I'm a family man. I met my wife when we were 2 and 3 years old. We knew each other growing up. Our dads are pastors, and our families got together, and they were missionaries, and we just liked each other from a distance, and finally in college got it together, and we got married 34 years just a week ago, 34th anniversary, and then we have 4 kids. We have a 29-year-old, a 21-year-old, an 18-year-old, and a 13-year-old. So, depending on how you look at it, we never got our act together. But by the way, you'll get my sense of humor after a while. The idea is that that we are very much still in parenting, but we're also transitions are always happening. And so, I'm delighted that you've come. Why don't we start with prayer, and we'll jump right in. People will still be coming in with their donuts hanging out of their mouths. And we'll just by the way, for the users that just came in, there's a handout in the back. And so be sure to grab one of those if you haven't had a chance so that you can follow along. I was just saying earlier, I don't like to go to seminars where somebody makes you write the whole time. So I've just put the slides down for you, enough to jog your memory. Or if you'd like to take notes, you can do that too. So yeah, grab a handout. We're just letting this start time slide a little bit because I know there was a lot going on to get up here. But let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for your love for us. God, I thank you that you care about every single one of us in this room, and there's something that you want each of us to be able to take away from our time together. God, it's so fun to come up to Mount Hermon because sometimes we can think about life differently than we can when we're in our routines. And so I just pray that you would cause each of us to be especially in tune with you over these next couple days. And God, I believe there's something that you have for us that is going to help us with whatever transition we are in or we're about to begin, or maybe that hard thing that we're just coming out of. That God, that you would speak to us about that, for we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So let's go ahead and begin with this by looking at the slide up on the screen. And that's a picture, of course, of what? It's a track meet. But what part of the track meet? Yeah, we are in a relay. And what's going on here? This is the passing of the baton. That's why I chose that picture for my slide to introduce the subject of transition. How many know, I don't know if we have any track stars in here. I ran track, maybe some of the rest of you had, but it's kind of a tricky little place, this little handoff zone, that's what they call it. And people work really hard to make sure that they get a good handoff in a relay race. They have to work on what they call their steps. Because you see, there's a little problem here. You've got one person coming into this zone as fast as they can run. You have another person in this zone who is at a dead stop and has to get going. And they have to hand off this little baton. And just at the right moment, they work on their steps, and just the right moment, they say, hit! And it's got to be there right in the hand. The problem is, you can't start too soon. You notice there's a line on the front end. You can't wait too long. There's a line on the back end. You can't spend the whole, you can't run around the whole track trying to hand this thing off. I mean, you got to do it in the zone. There's parameters on the front and the back. And I've lived this one. There's also parameters on the side. How many know that? If you step out of that lane, instantly disqualified. This is when they win and lose races right here all the time, even up to the Olympic level. Y'all seen one of those? Like, talk about disappointment. Everything was going well until that one handoff, and we lost the race. Either somebody stepped out of bounds, we dropped the baton, it took too long, something happened. Can I suggest transitions are tricky? Is that okay? Transitions are tricky. And it'll really help me. I introduced my family earlier, and I talked about my transition just before we had the prayer time. Some of you missed that. But transitions are tricky. And can I suggest that it's going to depend on how we think about our transitions many times as to how that transition's going to go. And we're going to talk about the fact that it's our belief system. Let's talk a little bit about beliefs. You like that picture? Yeah, a little bit of a transition there. You'll get my sense of humor later. But notice that guy is between two things. Can I suggest that beliefs are so important because they are the underlying conviction that will motivate everything you say, think, or do? Let's talk about that just for a minute. Beliefs are, I call it a pathway of beliefs. So when you think about beliefs being the underlying motivation, conviction that motivates everything you do, that affects what you value. You mostly don't value what you don't believe in. Is that fair? And what you value kind of determines about what you will do and what you won't do. It determines your commitments. I'm not going to do stuff I don't value. Does that make sense? Coming with me? And if I'm committed to it, I'm probably going to be thinking about it. I'm feeling it. No, I just put thinking and feeling, I promise, because some of us think we're thinkers and some of us are feelers. And so, hey, whether you're thinking or feeling, that's what's on your mind. Why? Because you're committed. You're making commitments around that. And then what you think and feel ends up being the kinds of things that you do. It's your actions. It's your behavior. So watch this. I can go all the way from my behavior or my actions. If I have enough time, I can go back to, what was I kind of thinking about that? And what was the commitment behind that? And what was the value behind that? And all the way back to what I call bedrock, to that belief system. Really, really important. Can I suggest that as we go through our workshop this morning, that each of you think about a transition. Now, some of you, that's not going to be very hard. It's you know exactly what's facing you, or you know exactly what you're in. Maybe it's a empty nest thing. Maybe it's you just got married. Maybe it's you're going to go to college and like, oh my goodness, that's way too big. And how do I think about that? And how do I go from where I am to where I need to be? But can I suggest that your belief system, how you believe will make a huge difference on how this transition goes? What do you believe about your transition? What do you believe about it? Do you believe it's fun? This is going to be like a fun thing? Or like, oh, I hate the fact that I have to do this. Is it drudgery? And I won't read the whole list, but you can see, pick one of those that matters to you, that jumps out at you. When you think about your transition, that thing, and I want each of you to get the most out of this seminar, each of you needs to be thinking about something specific in your life. How many know that, and you'll see little pictures all the way through here. By the way, what is that a picture of? Yeah, some people would say a car crash. Can I suggest that that's a picture of a transition? Any transitions represented there? Oh my goodness. Yeah. Maybe it's a life or death transition that somebody's going to go through. It's at least physical therapy. How about the hassles of insurance? Buying new cars. Yeah, there's quite a, you stop to think about it. It's, you know, there's a transition for the tree too, but we won't talk about that. I mean, there's just all kinds of transitions going on there when you really stop to take a look at it. What about your transition? What do you believe about your transition? Any of those words relate? Can you relate to any of those? One of the things that I'm dealing with many times is retirement. By the way, the new word for retirement is pro-tirement. Maybe some of you have heard that. And by the way, I've got two or three sessions left for coaching out under the redwood trees behind the auditorium afterwards. If you want to sign up for one of those, we can talk about your transition, if that would be helpful. But retirement is, it can be a very, very scary place. You've been doing something for a long time. You're really good at what you do, and then you go into this abyss, or you go into this never-never land of, now what do I do? And so sitting down, I've actually sat down with several people and said, well, what would you like that to look like? Be proactive about your retirement. Big transition. Big transitions. If you go to the doctor and they use the C word, right? It's cancer. Huge transition coming for you. All kinds of transitions. Some transitions are really hard. And maybe I just want to, I know in a room this size, we've got all kinds. We're coming from all different kinds of places. Some of you are maybe excited. Maybe you've got a job offer. You're totally excited. Maybe it's a promotion. That's really positive. But how many know it's not all that easy? Yeah, in fact, there's a book called The First 90 Days, and the thesis of the book is to somehow survive that first 90 days without doing something so stupid that you get fired. I mean, that's the idea of the book. Yeah, you can go to Barnes & Noble and get that. But anyway, the idea is that there's something, whether it's positive or whether it's negative, there's a transition. There's this tricky part that we're going to work through. I'm going to give you several things that I believe, several beliefs, and of course I started them all with P just so I could remember them easier, but several beliefs that I believe are critical for us as we think through this issue of transition. First of all, what is the purpose? What's God's purpose for this transition? What's God up to? I have one of my daughters is down at Cal Poly, and she was like the 4.0 student junior college and thought she was a slam dunk to get into this four-year transfer from junior college into this four-year university, and she thought everything was going to be fine. In fact, she was selected as one of the contestants for the valedictorian position, and she just was, everything was good. Dad, I'm there. I want to go to this school. I'm there. And they rejected her. Like, how could that even happen? Well, it turns out there was one little class that her and her counselor or whatever had overlooked, and she didn't have this one little class. So guess what? They put her application in the other pile. And the reject pile, and all of a sudden, she was going, what do I do now? But because she had grown up in our family and heard this before, one of her first responses was, she said, Dad, I said, well, God, what are you up to? And her asking that question changed the whole trajectory of her next year. She took a year off, and she got that, she got that class taken care of. But she also got a job with Bank of America, and long story short, that job has put her through college debt-free because of some fund that they can tap into as students, and plus her salary and her, you know, her wage. I mean, she will graduate from Cal Poly debt-free. Why? Because she said, God, what are you up to? Trying to find God's purpose is so important. As you look at that list, what do you believe about the purpose God may have for you in what you're facing, what you're going to go through? What is the purpose of this transition for you? Is it to change you, correct you, test you? To challenge you in some new way? What would God be up to? See, most of us, we're so American, we want to get everything done now. So we say, God, you know I hate transitions. You know I don't like to be in limbo. So God, I want you to fix it right now. Done. And God usually is working on a whole different system. Have you found that? Yeah. I mean, if you were God and somebody was snapping their fingers at you, like, do your thing, God. I mean, or you had the, you know, either we're going to do a snap thing and nobody's going to learn anything, or somebody's going to have to come to you time and time again and open up and share, God, I'm scared right now. God, would you cleanse me? God, would you give me a sense of how you want to stretch me? And God, would you, and if you're doing that every day, I mean, if you're God, which one of those do you want? God loves this relationship. I mean, if you're on your knees before God 24/7, if you're God, you love that. Here's my child coming to me and saying, Lord, help me. Take out whatever needs to be taken out, put in whatever needs to be put in. God, what do you believe, folks, this morning as you're sitting here up in the redwoods about what God might be up to in your transition? The other for you corporate people is ROI. If you're not, as a Christian, if you're not asking this question, who is? ROI, return on investment. I mean, like, is anybody asking, God, what's in this for you? What's in this for you? And we're hearing all kinds of challenges in our main sessions about, you know, loving and serving and being missionaries and going and doing hard things. God, what is in this transition for you? His purpose. Let's find his purpose. Your beliefs about the purpose of God in your transition will make all the difference. Secondly, let's go to a plan. You know, Jeremiah 29, and many of you know that scripture about the plans that God has for us, not to hurt us or harm us, but to give us hope and a future. God's got a plan. What is God's plan? What do I believe about God's plans for me as I go through this transition? Now, you can do studies on planning and how to plan and time management and scope and sequence and all that kind of stuff. Usually plans fall into these three general categories: exploration plans, research, doing your research, execution plans, how am I going to execute, and then some evaluation loop. But rather than getting into all that detail, I want to suggest that God has a plan for you in any of those areas. God has a plan. Do you believe that God has a plan that will take you through? A plan that could be known, a plan that could be found. You'll see little parentheses up there with biblical characters. Moses, did he go through any transitions, anybody? Yeah, we saw Abraham in the last one. Moses went through a few transitions. I mean, he started out in a river, you know, he comes down the birth canal, and now he's in the canal. He just to the palace, and then he, you know, after killing the Egyptian, he's going to the backside of the desert, and then he comes back to Pharaoh, and now he's got to do the Exodus thing and go to the promised land. I mean, a little bit of a transition going on with this guy. And he argues with God. Check it out in Exodus chapter 4. He's arguing with God. He's making all kinds of excuses. And he's getting at the plan of God that God had for him. He had to come to terms with the fact that God had a plan for him. God knew exactly what he had gone through, and God was going to use every aspect of that to fulfill God's plan for his life. God has a plan for us. By the way, you'll see all the pictures of transitions. You saw the graduate, now you see the mom and the mother and the child. I mean, how many know, what's that a picture of? Yeah, what is that really a picture of? Who's been listening? What's that? That's a trans. You can come sit right here at the front. My A student, yeah. That's a picture of transition. Isn't it? Oh my goodness, for like the next 18 years. Yeah, it's like time release capsules. I mean, this is like a slow but drawn out, very, very important transition. Look at the biblical character of Joseph. Did he go through any transitions? I really would recommend, if you would like to do some Bible study and you're facing a transition or you're in a transition, look at the biblical characters and look at it from the standpoint of the fact that all the transitions they went through. Did Joseph have some?
Yes.
Yeah. He goes from the pit, you know, to the palace, but he didn't go like straight there, did he? It took him through jail and a few other things. Very, very interesting study of Joseph's life. But what does Joseph say when he meets his brothers? And they finally he reveals who he is. He says, actually, God sent me on ahead of you. Remember that? You get that famous verse? What you meant for evil, God meant for good. And Joseph becomes the second highest, most important person in the land of Egypt when Egypt was at its, you know, pinnacle in terms of world influence, and saves the very lives of the chosen people represented by the patriarchs. Very, very important. It was God's provision that he would go through those transitions. What do you believe about God's provision related to your transition? What resources will you need? Now, when we think about God providing for us, maybe it's a health transition you're in. It's bad health, or it's a financial situation. You know, you're between jobs and you're in a transition. What do you need? My guess is it'll come down to two categories. There's going to be some externals, as you can see on the slide. There's some externals that we're going to need, right? I'm going to need more time. I'm going to need more money. I'm going to need, you know. But then there's also these internal things that each of us need. Isn't that interesting? You know what I really need right now? I just need confidence. What do you believe about God's ability to provide for you in your transition? I need patience. I just need some peace. You get the idea. Would you dare to ask God right now where you're sitting, God, what do I need right now? I believe the Holy Spirit is here, and I believe the Holy Spirit wants to give you what you need for your transition. He's the provider. What do you believe about God's protection? Somebody asked me the other day, hey, Pastor Paul, why did you put that slide with God's protection? I said, well, because most marriages can get in trouble so easily. I don't know. I don't know why I put that. But that's a couple I married. And how many know that we need God's protection? Whether it's for our marriage or for our health, or I'm not too proud to pray that God will protect us on vacation and keep us from harming anyone and being harmed ourselves. Are you? I'm not too proud. I need God's protection. I need God to protect me. Look at all those things I need protection from. And I would like you to add to the list, because like I'm sure you have your own. I need God's protection. What do you believe about God's ability to protect you in that health crisis you're in, or in that difficult marriage, or in that retirement, or not going off to college, What do you believe about God's protection? Anybody relate to Joshua? He meets the commander of the Lord's army in chapter 1 of the book of Joshua, and it's all about fighting. Did Joshua need God's protection? Yeah. So remember one of the reasons why God took the children of Israel not straight up into the promised land, like right up the seaboard, but he took them out in the wilderness and let them go for 40 years, it turns out, to teach them a lot of things. And one of the things he taught them over the course of time is that he would be their protection. Like when you go into the promised land and you start fighting all these battles, you need to know something before we even get started. I, the Lord, am your protection. Do you believe me? Are you kidding? What was their first battle? Their first battle was Jericho. Who in the world marches around the city 7 times expecting the walls to fall down? They got it. It wasn't going to be because they're clever or because of their weaponry. It was, they were totally dependent on the protection of God. Wow. He takes them through a 40-year transition and they got it. What does God want to teach us about his protection, his ability to protect us through our transition? Will God protect you in your transition? We could do whole seminars on any of these, but you're getting the drift. There's this amazing God who loves us, who wants us to understand that our belief in his abilities, his character, related to our transitions are going to be huge. Now, I'm a marriage pastor, so I'm mostly talking to couples, and especially if you're a couple, I would love to spend some time with you, like offline. That's what I do. But these things will work for anything, right? These are God's promises. Look at all God's promises. Which one? Pull one out for you. Go ahead, do it. Just pull it out. Say, God, that's mine. That's what I'm going to hang on to. There's something in the promises of God, all the promises, promises for rest, for wisdom. I promise I'm not making these up. These are like Bible verses. I will complete the work that I've begun in you. I will make a way of escape. That's 1 Corinthians 10:13. I mean, these are promises of God for you in your transition. How many know that he's got a place prepared for us? That it's not even all about this world, no matter what happens here. There's promises and layers of promises. What do you believe about the promises of God? Do you believe that God fulfills his promises? Check out David. Y'all, don't we love David? The King David. He's like at the top of the heap when it comes to, you know, who's who in the history of Israel. But how many know King David? Well, he started off pretty humbly. A shepherd. And he gets anointed by a reluctant prophet after they run through all the brothers and sisters. At the end, he finally gets anointed. How many know that it was 13 years before that came to be? He was running for his life. But God fulfilled his promises. What's the promise that God has made to you that is going to help you navigate and negotiate that transition in your life? God's up to something. And David, King David, comes into this place and he writes the Psalms. The Psalms, many of the Psalms, are promises. Now, some of the Psalms are, they call them imprecatory Psalms, like calling down fire on your enemy, but we've got some of those too. and some are messianic and are, you know, and there's different classifications, but there's promises buried in these. That God, this is who you are. You are so good to me. Your loving kindness endures to all generations, of all kinds of promises. I lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He promises, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That's what God's promising to do as the great shepherd. And those are promises. Those are promises that God wants to give us. Am I making any sense? You can nod once in a while or stand on the chair and say amen, whatever. But yeah, just I hope you're connecting with this. One of the most tender things that I could share with you today is that it's going to be God's promise to you as an individual. His promise to you as his beloved son or daughter. You are royalty. You're a child of the King. He loves you way better than your parents can, or way better than your boss or best friend, or even your spouse. And he promises to see you through. His promise is not only good for whatever it is that when you close your eyes and you see that thing that's scary or that thing that you're going to have to face or that thing that you're in the middle of right now and you can't figure out. But his promises are good for that, but they go way beyond that, don't they? Why is your flight, your life, I'll get that right. Why is your life not a white-knuckle flight for God? I heard a pastor one time says, it's not just that God is fast, like he can keep up with you. He's not like lagging behind going, oh. It's that he's already there. He's seen the movie. He knows how this ends. You know that transition that's staring us in the face that seems so huge? How come we forget? I forget that. Do we forget that? It looks like a brick wall. By the way, well, let me finish that first thought. The idea is that he sees it all. He's got you in the grave. You are like dead and gone. You are gone from the earth. Remember? Life is a vapor. Yeah. So he can see you coming down the birth canal, and he can see you in the grave. He can see it all at once. And then some. He's outside of time. Isn't that amazing? That's why he's not worried. He knows how you get through this transition. And he knows what promises that you believed in that helped you through that. You trusted in his protection. You trusted in his goodness. You trusted in his provision. You trusted in it that he had a purpose in mind. And you trusted that. And he sees how that all worked out. If we could see it, well, I'll go on. His possibilities. Do you believe that nothing is impossible for God? Or if you don't like it said that way, all things are possible for God. Nothing is impossible, and all things are possible. You can look up Bible verses that say it both ways. For you pessimists and you optimists, either way, it's there. Yeah. God can't be stumped. God's never out of options. God will never have to apologize. So if you'll bear with me, I'm going to do a little shtick here, and just to kind of make the point. And again, it's just my weird sense of humor maybe, but can you imagine yourself coming through the pearly gates of heaven? You all there? Yes. Yes, Pastor Paul, I see myself coming through. Good. And Jesus is there to meet you. Like Jesus himself. Like, this is really cool. You're coming through the door, the pearly gates. You know, St. Peter's over there too, but you know, you're coming through the door, pearly gates, and everybody's coming, we're all coming through the door together. And Jesus says, welcome everybody, come on through. And then he sees you. Your name's John. And he sees you and he goes, oh, John, oh my goodness. Hey, go on in, you guys. Hey, John, could you come over here? Could I just have a word with you? The rest of you go on in. It's really good in there, actually. And but John, if you just come over here, I don't know how to say this. I'm not going to make excuses. I mean, I'm so sorry. John, I am so sorry. I don't know. Your situation is just... John, could you find it in your heart to forgive me? I mean, I know I hung the worlds and the heavens and the stars and that, but your situation... I just blew it. I mean... That, my friends, is a conversation that will never happen. And I believe God gave that to somebody in here just to encourage you that your situation is not out of control, and God is not going to have to apologize to you when he sees you at the pearly gates, that he just didn't have what it took to help you figure out your situation. He is never out of options. He's never been stumped. I don't know who I have up here. Oh, I got Daniel. I could have picked anybody. But was Daniel, when Daniel got thrown in the lion's den, and, you know, he should have been devoured before he hit the ground, was he out of options? Was God out of options? Not at all. And he's not out of options with your situation either. When Moses takes the children of Israel to between a rock and a hard place, it's called the Red Sea, and he's backed up against the sea, and he's got nowhere to go and nothing to do except get killed by Pharaoh or drown. Is God out of options? Turns out he wasn't out of options at all. If you remember that story, there's nothing impossible. Does that encourage you today when you think about your transition? There are so many options. You name it, God can do it. And then some. Infinite options with an infinite God. What do you believe about the perspective that God would have you have related to your transition? What's your perspective? What's God's perspective on your situation? When I think about perspective, of course, I go right to the cross. Jesus is hanging on the cross saying, Father, forgive them. But the book of Hebrews tells us that he wasn't just thinking about how much this hurt. Some of you are with me on that? Yeah. Hebrews 12. Jesus, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. That's like shaming the shame. Like, shame on you, shame. Like, I despise you, shame. He's sitting there in shame. He's hanging naked between heaven and earth, dying for the sins of the world on the cross. But he's not just thinking about how much this hurt. He's thinking about you and I at Mount Hermon. He's thinking about you and I sitting and standing and giving praise and honor and glory to the God of... the Almighty God around the crystal sea, around the throne of God in heaven. He looks right through the cross, through the pain, through the suffering. It was his perspective that helped him through. What is the perspective that God would give you on your transition to help you through? Can I get his eternal perspective? Can I see life from his perspective? You all flown in planes, right? Everybody? I'd be surprised if there's a single person in here who's never been in the air. Do we have one? Anybody afraid of heights? So we've all been in planes. When you take the plane and you get up to about 30, 40,000 feet, and you look down on the earth, and you see the people down there, and you see all those concerns they have, how does it look to you from there? It's really small. Now, those concerns are big. They're the concerns like the kind that we're having as we sit and think about our transition in this room. Those concerns are big. But when you get even at 40,000 feet, and where is God? In heaven. I mean, more than 40,000 feet, maybe. When God looks at your life, is he like all concerned? No. I just took my family to several parks in the southwest United States, national parks, and it was fun. We had been to Grand Canyon before, but we actually included three or four others, and it was just this amazing thing. And some canyons, some of the, you know, Bryce and Zion National Park, if you've ever been there, some of those parks you're looking up, and it's magnificent. Have you been to Yosemite? You're on the valley floor, and you're looking up, and it's magnificent. Other parks, you're at the rim, and you're looking down, like Grand Canyon. It's amazing when you go to the Grand Canyon, and you go up to the rim, and you're looking out 10 miles across this canyon, and a mile deep, over 5,000 feet deep, and you're looking, and what was my problem? It's huge. It takes your breath away. People come from all over the world. Sunrise, sunset, all throughout the day, different colors and aspects, and you know, it's amazing. It's like, yeah, I still have that problem. Yeah, I still have that transition, but it shrinks, doesn't it? Because of the perspective. Really, really important. What do you believe? Do you believe in God's perspective? The perspective that Jesus had on his situation, could he give you a similar perspective for your situation? And then the last one is a belief in the providence of God. There's a safety net here. Even if those other beliefs are really a hard struggle for you, there's the safety net of God's providence. God's providence. That means that's that Romans 8:28 stuff. And I believe, I'm not saying anything probably new to anybody in this room related to the things that we've talked about. But it's just really good reminder sometimes to remind ourselves that God controls all things. Colossians says he holds all things together. And everything has to conform to his will. There's the providence of God. He is in control. He has not slipped off his throne. He will make a way where there seems to be no way. That's really, really important for us to understand. You all know the Apostle Paul? Yeah, so he didn't start out the Apostle Paul, did he? Yeah, he was a Christian hater. Who would have ever thought that the Christian hater would end up writing 2/3 of the New Testament? Was that a little transition? Yeah, knocked off his horse, yeah, all that. Just think about the transition. The Apostle Paul goes from, as Saul, the Christian hater, put him in jail, put him in prison, to the Apostle Paul, the missionary of the New Testament church, and writes half or 2/3 of the New Testament, and encouraging and starting the churches and teaching and setting those things into place. Huge transition. God was in control of all that. And in the providence of God, the Apostle Paul says, yeah, I'm the chief of sinners. And that is why God, one of the reasons why God has sent me to be the chief evangelist. The providence of God. Is that cool? Isn't that amazing? That would not have been the person that we would have selected. That wouldn't have been the person that comes to our mind immediately to, like, do this whole New Testament church thing. You know, the one that hates them the most. Think of the person in your life that hates you the most, or the people that hate Christianity the most. Can you imagine them being the great apostle of God to the Christian faith? There are some jihadists right now that just want you dead. They want Christianity, they want Judeo-Christian values, they want everything you stand for. They hate. And most of us don't like to think about that somebody would actually like hate us that much. And we want to be nice because we're nice and they should be nice. But there's people that want you dead. They want you so dead, they want you to go straight to hell. They just hate everything about your life they hate. And if you haven't woken up and smelled the coffee, you're probably losing the battle. And we as America are losing the battle. And that's part of the reason. It's because we don't know who we're dealing with. Now, I'm not here to talk about that. I'm here to suggest that what if one of those people that hate you, hate God, hate Judeo-Christian values, hate everything you stand for, became the top guy, the most prolific writer, the most powerful, enthusiastic believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and turn the world around, taking all that was against and now is turning it for? That's the Apostle Paul. I'll leave you with this. On your money, something is printed on all your money. I just think that's hilarious. I mean, it was like God's joke or something. I don't know. How did that ever happen? The founding fathers and the people that instituted the U.S. Treasury, they put this little phrase on all of our money, on the thing that we would most likely want to depend on. Right on that thing. It's like screaming at you if you have half a brain, don't depend on me. Trust God. It's right on your... I'm making this up. Check it out. Pull it out of your wallet. Every coin, every piece of paper, legal tender, it says, in God we trust. We're not trusting in the money. You got a piece of money, your tendency is to trust the money or the power represented by that money. Our tendency is to trust that. And right on it, it says, don't do it. It says, trust in God. In God is our trust. Can I leave you with this? That whatever transition you're in, it's in God that you are going to trust. It's not in the health profession. It's not in the college that you want to attend. It's not in a physical therapist that's coming to your place to help you work out that new knee. I mean, whatever transition, whatever the issue, our trust is not to be in them or in those things. Our trust ultimately is to be in God. Why? Because it's His providence. We believe that He is sovereign over all things. And He's sovereign in your situation. And that's why He's not worried. Amen? These are beliefs. You can add some more if you want, but these are beliefs that are going to be critical to how the transition goes. If you're going through a divorce, if you're going through losing a child or have a prodigal child or a situation where you've got a job situation that's not going well, you've been laid off or terminated or whatever, or it's a happy transition, it's a new job, new family, new wife, whatever it is, it's in God that we're going to trust. Can I pray for you? And then I'll make a couple of announcements. Let's pray. God, right now, we just thank You for this time that You've given us to just consider for these moments the beliefs that we are going to have, those underlying convictions that motivate us related to our life transition, related to what's going on in us, that thing that's looming up, or that thing that's so difficult to negotiate right now, or that thing that didn't go very well. God, as we reflect on that, God, help us to understand that as we believe in you, as we believe in your purpose, your power, your provision, all these things we've talked about, God, that is what you want us to focus on. That is what is going to help us most. Because, Father, if our beliefs are sideways, if our beliefs are non-existent, if our beliefs are flimsy, God, we're going to be left with less than you want us to have for whatever we're going through. So, God, speak to us. Give each of us something to take away today. For we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let me just give you a little plug for tomorrow. Tomorrow, I'm the marriage pastor. Some of you heard me say that earlier. I'm the marriage pastor, and I love to talk about sex. I just said that to see if you're awake. Actually, I do talk about sex in my office almost every day. But I'm the marriage pastor, and I love to talk to couples about what matters to them. And if you're a couple, especially a couple, I don't mind talking to you singles. That's great. But I especially want to talk to couples. If any of you couples would like to get some time and talk about specific things like, you know, parenting issues, or how do we stay engaged with each other as we go through life, or maybe there's a transition coming up that's kind of getting your relationship, straining your relationship, I would love to talk to you. I've got two or three sessions left today, and then I got several tomorrow, four or five sessions open tomorrow. And tomorrow I'm going to be talking about relationships, and mostly about marriage and family stuff, you know. But the things I'm going to be talking about tomorrow will also work for coworkers or you know, things at work, school, whatever. But I'm mostly going to be focusing on what happens when relationships break down. What are some of the critical things that will help us get our relationship restored? And so I would love to see you again tomorrow. Talk to your friends, spread the word, and we'll do it again tomorrow. Okay? Again, as you leave, anybody wants a 30-minute coaching session, please come up and we'll put you on the list. God bless you. Thank you for coming.